You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, a credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. With nearly every episode over the last 2 weeks devoted to Heat exit interviews, which I'll be continuing throughout the week on Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, and more, I thought it might be time to do a little housekeeping on the team, bring you up to date on the latest news and what it all means. There's some rumors about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Jrue Holiday is apparently on the trade market, and the NBA draft strategy for the Heat is something to consider. But I wanted to start off with the news that broke late last week that the National Basketball Players Association voted to approve the NBA's plan to restart the season on December 22nd. On the surface, that's the news. Basketball will be played again in just a few weeks, just over a month away. I cannot believe it. It feels like the season just ended for the Miami Heat after their loss to the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Still something that's difficult to talk about for a lot of Heat fans, I know. At the same time, a new season starts. Not just that, the draft is taking place on November 18th. Free agency begins right after that. Training camp opens at the start of December. We're less than a month away from players reporting to camp. It's unbelievable to consider. So here's what happened as far as the plan is concerned. League and players are still negotiating financial terms as they amend the current collective bargaining agreement. There are some decisions to be made there regarding how much money is going to be getting from each party and things of that sort. Obviously, there's a 50-50 split that's currently in the works as far as the collective bargaining agreement is concerned that needs to amend that to some degree. Of course, there's also amounts that I'll be talking about a little bit later. Once that formal agreement is reached, and it's supposed to be reached shortly, the league will be open for business as usual, including the potential for trades prior to the NBA draft. It's long been reported 72 games will be on the schedule next season, starting December 22nd, finishing up around normally the time when the season will come to an end. It's going to be a very condensed schedule. They're cutting 10 games off, lopping that part of the schedule off right away. Normally, let's say if the schedule begins around Halloween, or at least last year it began in mid-October, you probably play about 14 to 15 games, maybe even a little bit more by the time December 22nd rolls around. This won't be as great. You'll start to see some shaky basketball being played right away. Look, there's a lot to consider as far as some teams having not played since the hiatus took place in mid-March. So that's a lot to consider. It'll be almost 9 months since teams like the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Chicago Bulls, and others haven't played actual basketball on an NBA arena. But the finish is supposed to take place before the Summer Olympics is set to begin next year, if, in fact, it does wind up being played out. It allows players to compete in the Olympics, which is obviously a great thing for the NBA. It will continue to build their global brand, and they won't be competing for ratings against cross-country events, track and field events, all sorts of Olympics-related programming. So that is obviously the decision has been made there to make sure they don't compete against the football, against other sports, the way they did during the Orlando bubble when the ratings were not as great for a number of reasons. Look, we've talked about this before. I think most NBA fans are aware that there were a number of reasons there. I dismiss wholeheartedly the association with any kind of political messaging or anything like that as a reason as to why people didn't watch games. I think a lot of the Orlando games were taking place at weird hours. If you're an employee in a regular 9-to-5 job, chances are you're not watching a 1 o'clock tip-off between the Miami Heat and Toronto Raptors on a Wednesday afternoon. That's just ridiculous. So that's a big part of it. I think the playoffs had some bounce back there. There was a lot of going on there between the election, between a lot of different factors, social movements taking place around the world. And I don't think that was a fair assessment as far as the ratings are concerned. But either way, they don't want to compete with other sports. Makes sense. Again, free agency set to begin right after the NBA draft. That gives players some time to go ahead and meet with teams. I think they've already been doing that. Again, this would be tampering to some degree. I think it's ridiculous to consider that teams haven't reached out to players or agents to some kind of process there as far as feeling out what a player's interest might be. It makes a whole lot of sense. You don't have much time. You're looking at December 18th when the draft takes place, and from that point forward, you need to know how to fill out the rest of your roster. You've got 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, including the Thanksgiving holiday, to start filling out the rest of your team. You don't have a lot of time to work that around. And so it's important to get it done as quickly as possible. Now, the escrow, as far as something that I've been talking about quite a bit, a part of the player's salaries that will be deferred in order to help make up for some of the losses that are expected to take place over the next season, that's kind of part of the plan as far as the agreement that's yet to be made. That amount that will be removed from player salaries is being negotiated as far as being distributed over multiple seasons. So it's not like you're going to lose 40% of your salary during the 2020-2021 season. You're going to lose 20% here, 10% there, 5%, 5% perhaps. I'm not reporting that. That's just my feeling as far as spreading it out. Similarly to what the amnesty provision allows teams to kind of take a hit on their salary cap, but at the same time distributed over a number of years, it'll be something similar to that. I'm not sure what those amounts are. We'll get some clarification about that more or less. You know, how does this impact Miami? I've said it before. I think Miami will be a beneficiary and also wind up suffering as a result of the short turnaround. They'll be much more engaged that much more quickly. We know what to expect from this Miami Heat team. Eric Spoelstra is going to get this group as prepared as possible. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, everybody on this team is already going to be working. But when you consider a player like Goran Dragic, who went through a major health issue, when you have potential free agency decisions to make as far as whether or not Jay Crowder, Myers Leonard, Derrick Jones Jr., and others could potentially leave, and who you have to find to replace those, not a lot of time. And so given all that, Miami might benefit early on as far as the first few months of the season. Then, after that, you're looking at wear and tear potentially boiling up, continuing to snowball. It'll be an issue, I think, towards the end of the season and potentially during the playoffs. Now, you could make a huge swing for the fences this offseason. Again, not much of an offseason, but potentially you could trade for a player to help complement Jimmy Butler, to help keep that title window alive for another season. My feeling is that's not likely to happen. You want to preserve that flexibility for 2021. And while you can't acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason, there's a good chance that you can acquire him the following year. And if that's the case, well, then hold off. If you're an early round playoff exit next season, is it a disappointment? Absolutely. Like, this is the Miami Heat we're talking about. They never want to tank. They never want to take seasons off. And they don't really feel comfortable doing that with Jimmy Butler's four-year contract and the need to make sure they maximize every second of that time together as much as possible. And so there's going to be issues there. There's going to be concerns, but what can you do? This is a very unusual circumstance here. I know the team is going to feel comfortable trying to get as many decisions made as quickly as possible. They've already been preparing for this. I know that they'll be able to handle the challenges right away, but look, these are human bodies that we're talking about. We saw how Jimmy Butler had to fight his way through injury throughout the regular season prior to the hiatus. He was able to bounce back and have a historically good performance in the NBA playoffs and NBA finals. Unfortunately, I just don't know how much you can expect of him to have to carry that constant weight, that constant load, especially if Goran might be out for a prolonged period of time. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very, very difficult to foresee that. We are all guessing here because the reality is no one's ever gone through anything like this. And so Miami's going to have to find a way to make the most of a weird offseason and a weird regular season. And one of the names to potentially help that, however, is Jrue Holiday. He's reportedly on his way out of the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Heat are an interested suitor. I'll break down the latest rumors here on the number one Miami Heat podcast, Locked On Heat. Stay up to date on the latest roster changes, rumors, and more, as well as my coverage of the NBA draft and continuing exit interviews. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. The New Orleans Pelicans are in a very weird place. Obviously, they fell short of their playoff expectations in the past during the Orlando bubble. They've got a young core there with Brandon Ingram, who's also a free agent, Zion Williamson, who has some health issues of his own to work through. But Jrue Holiday was considered to be a part of that team moving forward. Their new GM, David Griffin, they've got a new coach there. I thought that they would hang on to Holiday for as much as possible. With Stan Van Gundy coming in to coach that team, it seemed like that was the right player to fit his mold, fit his style of play. I even talked to Jake Madison, the host of Locked On Pelicans, and he told me they were going to hang on to Jrue. Then a couple days later, Shams Charania of The Athletic reports he's on the trade market. So there's some interest there from Miami's perspective. There's also some interest from a lot of teams around the league. The reason why he's being traded, at least that's what's been reported by Charania, is that he won't re-sign there with the New Orleans Pelicans. He is not an expiring deal necessarily. He's got 2 years left on his contract, and the last season of that is a player option, but they don't want to lose him for nothing when he winds up opting out at the end of next season. It's possible that he'll wind up opting in. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Again, Miami is a suitor, according to multiple sources, but their interest depends on who you talk to. But why? His name's been linked to Miami for a while. Why haven't they been able to pull the plug? Again, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He'll be making $26 million next season, and then he has a player option for the 2021-22 season when he will be making $27 million. Now, if Miami were able to acquire him, there's possibility that he might have already worked out a deal to not opt in. He wants to re-sign with a team for a long-term deal, but they could always squeeze him in here as a complimentary star alongside Jimmy Butler and perhaps another max-level player, an Adetokounmpo, an Oladipo, or something else. Now, Oladipo might not necessarily be the greatest fit alongside Holiday, but it provides two solid combo guards, guys that can handle the ball, create shot opportunities for each other, and both of them, when fully healthy, are great at defending at a very high level in the backcourt. He's also an underrated player. He's not quite to the point where he's like a Chris Middleton guy, but he's also become underrated to the point where he's almost become overrated, and partly because he just hasn't been able to establish himself as a great individual player. He just hasn't been able to get the kind of attention or focus or awards consideration. He had one All-Star season in Philadelphia, but then he had very limited playoff chances with the New Orleans Pelicans. They had that one run a couple years ago with Anthony Davis when he was on that roster, and since then, not much. And look, they've had a lot of great guard depth over in the West between Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Dame Lillard, Russell Westbrook, etc., etc. So many different options. It's very, very difficult to break through there. Look, Mike Conley Jr. has been a great guard for a number of years with the Memphis Grizzlies, never an All-Star selection. And similarly for Holiday, just hasn't been able to break through that great crop of talent at the top there. And again, he's a superb defender. Very, very solid, dependable on-ball defender. He's got the size and strength to defend multiple positions. He's got the speed to match up well with any guard. He's a good scorer, about 35% on almost 6 3-point attempts per game the following season. Not great at the line. 70% last season. He's had some sub-70 seasons. It's very weird for a guy like that. He's got a little hitch in his stroke, perhaps, that keeps him from being the fluid scorer that a lot of players are at this level. And he's not a go-to scorer. He never has been. So why Miami interest? Well, given how poor Miami's on-ball defense was at the point of attack during the Orlando bubble, it makes a lot of sense. He's also an established veteran. He's a guy who could fit in there. There's no questions about his work ethic. You know what kind of player he is. You don't have to question whether or not he's going to come dedicated or whether or not he wants to achieve success. We know he does. He's hungry for a title at this point in his career, like a lot of players are. He wants that kind of attention. He wants to establish that last little bit of his legacy before seeking retirement. Makes a lot of sense there. The contract could work. Again, he could opt out. And if that's the case, you keep that flexibility and you wind up paying him just one season at that high rate and then kind of prorating that over the rest of the season. Over the rest of his career, rather. And he could provide a very nice 1-2 punch at guard with Goran Dragic. He's definitely an improvement over Kendrick Nunn. So if you have Goran, who might return to health and come off the bench, then you have Drew starting there at a high level. You could always play both of them. You could have a 3-guard lineup with Tyler Hero, too. There's a lot of different options there, and it's a nice fit for Miami. Again, a guy who instantly brings up your defense to a very high level. Alongside Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, those would be three great defenders. And you could provide some kind of spacing there as far as, if you don't want to play Jimmy for all 72 games, if he's not available, you could get a guy like Holiday, and he helps offset some of the missing games that Butler is likely to experience over the course of next season. But why doesn't he make sense? He's 30 years old. That's the biggest knock on him. He's not a superstar in the sense of a LeBron James or an Adetokounmpo or somebody along those lines. He's very, very solid and dependable. Is he a significant improvement that you'd be willing to risk giving up flexibility for? That's a huge question. And I'm not so sure that Miami does do it. What would it take to acquire him? I think that's a huge question as far as why you want to go after a guy like Holiday as well. And for Hero to be included in some certain trade talks and trade scenarios, I think that's a done deal. I don't think that makes any sense at all for Miami. Look, a guy like Hero, who's 20 years old, we talked about this in his recent exit interview. There's all-star potential there. He could be a solid defender. He has the instincts. He's got the work ethic times 10. And he's a much better scorer than Holiday ever will be. And if that's the case, why are you willing to give that up? I get that you need help from a defensive perspective as far as guards are concerned, but you've got the draft for that. You've got other options. You can sign a guy like Wes Matthews to join his former Marquette teammate on the Heat roster. I think that makes a lot of sense too. I don't necessarily see why you want to mortgage your future, lock yourself into a guy like Holiday, as good as he is, right away. I know it's sexy to say, oh, bring in a name like Holiday, bring in a guy who ups your defensive intensity to a certain degree. I just also don't think that you want to sacrifice your future, your flexibility, and certainly not give up a player of the talent of a Tyler Hero. Ultimately, what do I think happens? If the market is dead, they would prefer to deal him to the East. This is from the Pelicans' perspective. Can Miami's offer of Nun Olynyk and a future pick be enough? Again, only if it's a really dead market, and we've seen a number of teams already show some interest, at least reportedly. Every team, there was a piece from The Athletic that rated every team's chances. There's more than a few teams there that have some interest and the potential to put together a nice package to acquire a guy like Holiday. This would be a different scenario. This is if nobody bites, nobody wants to make any kind of huge offer, and the Pelicans just kind of have to circle back and say, well, we'll take pennies on the dollar for a player like Drew. I think if the season starts right around the corner, as it's expected to do, and he doesn't get moved during the offseason, then he'll get moved right away when somebody needs him. Either an emerging contender that did not expect to make such a good run, similarly to what Miami did last year. If you recall, that's when some of the trade talks started picking up. All of a sudden, Miami had this great defense, this really great team that started off super hot, and then they kind of cooled off a little bit. Before that, though, there was some talk around the trade deadline. Let's get a high-level defender. Let's get a guy like Holiday to instantly help out a Miami team that looks like they can make a deep playoff run. Then things tapered off, the hiatus, et cetera, whatever. You still made your move for Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill. It worked out beautifully for Miami. Another reason why they might be willing to make a move for Holiday is if all of a sudden you have an injury that takes place and you're a contending team, a Milwaukee, a Philadelphia, a Los Angeles, maybe even a Miami. We'll see. It's interesting. I don't think he's in Miami's future. If I had to put a guess on it, I'd say it's a 10% chance that Miami is able to pursue and follow up and acquire a guy like Holiday. It's fun to talk about, but I just don't know if there's any kind of realistic path for the Heat to acquire him. But there is a much more realistic path for a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'll talk about the latest rumors next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskHelloHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review as always. The latest rumors about Giannis Antetokounmpo hinted at last week when I recorded an exit interview and about Tyler Hero. If you did not listen to that, please make sure to go back and do so. But it was basically about Hero's tradability or his status as perhaps being somewhat touchable or untouchable. I guess that's up for debate depending on what perspective you might have. But the report comes from Ashley Nicole, who hosts a radio show, and she mentioned that Giannis is interested in signing a long-term deal with the Miami Heat, that the Golden State Warriors are packaging some sort of combination of players that includes Andrew Wiggins. Antetokounmpo, by virtue of having an apartment or a residence here in South Florida, does spend part of his offseason here in Miami. It was somewhat a scattered report, if you even want to call it that. I don't mean to disparage a member of the media, although I'm not above that. I certainly think that there are plenty of opportunities to criticize some of the work that me and others like me are doing on a regular basis. So that's not my issue here. I don't know what Nicole's sources are. I'm not sure what her information is. The reality is that she's not providing anything that wasn't to some degree being floated out there. I think the tweet regarding Adetokunbo's residence has been deleted. I am not seeing it on her page at this point. Again, this is all so, I don't know, loosely based. And again, I don't want to criticize her either because she might be on the money. She might have some good sources of information within the organization. But the overall point is, I guess, that Miami has made Adetokunbo their priority. And he seems like that is the ideal move moving forward. As far as, you know, other players like Holiday or Oladipo or Bradley Beal, all of them are probably plans B through Z. And plan A of Adetokunbo is far out distancing the others. I'm not sure where Kawhi Leonard fits into that. I'm not sure where Paul George fits into that, if he's available for trade. There are lots of different parts moving around there. I think we'll start to see a lot more concrete understanding if Bam does or doesn't sign his extension. If he doesn't sign his extension, it's for a reason. It's to give the team flexibility, and it's something that he's worked out with his agent in order to likely acquire both Adetokunbo and Adebayo for long-term deals. If he does, well, then he does. It makes things more difficult for Miami, but as we've all known and seen over the course of Andy Ellisberg's tenure with the Heat, he can make magic happen. I wouldn't discount anything that he's capable of doing or is possible, because we acquired Jimmy Butler without any salary cap space. It's something that we've talked about a number of times over the course of that tenure. He can make miracles happen. I struggle to think that there's any chance of Adetokunbo being traded this offseason. I know that there's probable mutual interest there. I think Adetokunbo would want to join an organization like Miami that has proven to be able to maximize a time there for a player, that they can always guarantee a competitive spirit, that they're going to put everything around them in such a way where they can build a team to compete for a title pretty regularly. So I can understand why there would be appeal from Adetokunbo. I don't see why the Bucks would do so. Even if Adetokunbo tells him flat out this offseason, or has already told him following his departure from the Orlando bubble, I'm not coming back here. I don't like Mike Budenholzer. I don't like Chris Middleton as my secondary star. I don't like this cast of role players that you've surrounded me with. I want to leave. Well, the Bucks, I can understand, would want to make that trade, but it's already been debunked. The reports are that Adetokunbo has given Milwaukee one more year to prove that they can build a legitimate title contender, and that the Bucks will not look to trade Adetokunbo regardless of what the outcome of this season is, because they want to make sure that they can appeal to his good graces, that they can continue to sell him on being part of that organization, the team that gave him a chance, that drafted him, that has done everything they possibly can to cater to him. It's a very fickle, weird situation. It always is. Players want the luxury, the freedom to be able to make those decisions. The teams are kind of doing everything they view possible to make that player happy. But there's only so much that you can possibly do as an organization. It happened in Miami. We all know from having seen LeBron leave here in 2014 that the Heat clearly had set things up for him to benefit, to be able to continue to be a part of this organization and challenge and win titles, multiple titles. But he had other designs. He had other plans. It worked out for both parties, I'd say. In the short term, it was damaging for Miami, and there were some rumors about LeBron criticizing the organization to players within athlete circles and things of that sort. So it's not an ideal parting, let's say. But I think it's come full circle now. The Heat have gone and done everything they meant to do. They had a good closing relationship with Dwayne. They were able to acquire Jimmy Butler, and again, they were able to at least go into the NBA Finals this past season. So I think things have worked out pretty well. As for Adetokunbo, again, I don't know. I think there is a possibility that he wants to come here. I think that Miami certainly wants to have him here. I don't know about Hero's tradability or not. I think to the reporter's initial statement, Hero would absolutely be packaged in exchange for Adetokunbo. I don't think that's even a decision. I don't think that's a possibility to consider otherwise. If you can acquire a superstar like Adetokunbo, everybody short of Jimmy Butler, a max player, and Bam Adebayo, your cornerstone, is on the market. I love Duncan Robinson, love Hero, love this cast. There's only so much that you can do, and if you can get a superstar, you do it. It's not much of a report. And again, I don't mean to be critical. I just find that there's been a lot of information, a lot of speculation without much information to back it up. Now, I also kind of wanted to address to another point here, Miami's draft status or their strategy moving forward. I just thought it was important to kind of address because, honestly, the draft is just a couple weeks away. I don't want to begin covering potential prospects until next week following the exit interviews. I want to put a bow on that, wrap that up so that I can go ahead and start launching into more extensive scouting of potential prospects. I've already done some. I just wanted to at least lay out my thoughts on a potential strategy for the Heat. A lot of Heat fans seem to think that the Miami will trade down or trade out of the 20th spot. I don't think that's likely because I think that then you wind up drafting multiple players that infringe on that flexibility that you're trying to retain so preciously. And so if that's the case, I don't see why you would want to continue to acquire more players. So you focus on the 20th pick. I think that's the plan. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I feel like that's the strategy the team is looking to implement. They want to keep their pick. It's a weird draft. Not a lot of video or footage on most players, considering how things fell apart in mid-March. There's enough, I think, but some players stand out more than others. Dwayne doesn't get drafted fifth by the organization if March Madness doesn't take place. So I think you could certainly say that some players rise to the occasion and have an opportunity to improve their draft status. That did not work out this past year because of the coronavirus and because of the halt of NCAA play. But I think overall, if you're looking at what Miami's trying to do, I made this point recently when we were completing our mock draft for the Locked On Pods Network. Make sure to check that out because it's a fantastic combination of every host from around the league making sure that they give their strategy, they've made their choice, and we're all recording segments as to why those players were selected. My thought process is that Myers Leonard is likely gone. I understand you want to probably fill that void with a big. You could probably do so in free agency, a Paul Millsap, a Aaron Baines perhaps, maybe even the dream of a Serge Ibaka. But moreover, I think you also have Kelly Olynyk on the roster that you can't or probably cannot find a suitor for. You've also got Chris Silva there, who's waiting to be developed even further and has that opportunity to play more minutes next season if Myers is not here. Then you look at the front court, and yes, you've got Derrick Jones Jr., you've got Jay Crowder, likely at least one of those players leaving the team. My feeling is that Derrick is more likely to take a larger deal somewhere else. I know that Crowder might be interested in that sort of thing. I just don't know that that option is going to be available to him. I don't think a lot of teams want to tie their money up for a 30-year-old journeyman who probably played above what he's – no, not probably. He absolutely played above his usual performances throughout the course of his career. So I don't know that a lot of teams are looking at what he did in Miami and saying, yeah, he's going to be a 40% shooter moving forward. It just does not seem very likely. And so maybe you can get Crowder on a discount. I feel like that's something a lot of fans would want to hear anyway. So we'll see how that shakes up as far as the front court. And again, you could probably find a Paul Millsap. You could probably find another player to kind of complement Bam and Jimmy in that front court and it'll all work out. My bigger issue is than the point guard position, or at least a guard spot, because I don't know that you want to break it down to point guard or not point guard, shooting guard, considering Jimmy and Bam bringing up the ball as much as they do and initiating a lot of the offense. So it's not about a point guard. You're not looking for a guy who creates shots for himself, although that would be ideal. But you're also likely to promote Tyler Herro in a starting guard spot. Who knows what happens with Kendrick? I don't see him being a long-term fixture in that starting lineup. I also think you have to find another player that can take away some minutes from a Goran Dragic. So to me, if you're looking for a clear strategy from the team, it's probably to draft a guard. I know there are a lot of names, again, that I'll get into when I start compiling more thorough scouting reports on these players. I know that there are a lot of bigs, maybe even some fours, that might have some interest from Heat fandom. I just don't see that being the strategy. Look, I could be wrong. It's hard to gauge any kind of sense of what the team is drafting, considering that either Adebayo or Tyler Herro were nowhere near Miami's radar and did not, to me, stand out as obviously glaring needs. The Herro decision made a lot of sense after the fact. I remember saying, even once he was drafted, to me that it was so strange that they knew something about this player, one, and that they also had a plan for why he wanted to be a part of this team or why they wanted him to be a part of this team. It would have made a lot more sense if they had traded away Goran Dragic. It still worked out anyway. But as far as Herro's fit and talent, I think, obviously, he's proven that he's a quality NBA player. I don't know who's on the Heat radar right now. There's a lot of different names being tossed around there. They brought in some players for interviews. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors when it comes to the draft. And we already know that they've done this on the, in the past, that they've not shown interest to a player that they wind up wanting to add via a free agent contract or via the draft. They just tend to kind of downplay it so that nobody else will take them above the 20th spot. So the 20th spot is not ideal. You're not in the lottery. You can't make any moves that way. You're too far down. Basically, you're getting a player that's in the bubble that might have slipped from the 10 to 15 range down to 20th. And you're probably reaching for a player projected at, you know, the second round, early second round, maybe even late first round. It's tough to gauge, though, again, considering you don't have a lot of information on these players. So it's just going to be an interesting draft. I keep watching this process. And, you know, for people whose careers are built around draft analysis and finding the best players and things of that sort, it must be the most impossible season that they've ever experienced, because it's just so little information. You can't go to combines. You can't work any kind of raw numbers or data. There's so little information to project, and so much of it is just such a crapshoot. It really is. I know I'm probably the worst person when it comes to the draft, in the sense that I really don't care very much about the draft and things of that sort, because we'll never know how these players will pan out until much later. And a lot of that depends on fit, and a lot of it depends on the right system being able to maximize said player. We won't know how that plays out for a long time. I mean, you rarely get a case like Tyler Hero to come into a roster that was fully fleshed out and then he gets that opportunity. And look, if Deion Waiters doesn't have his run-ins with Eric Spoelstra, if he's somewhat more humble and doesn't say anything about earning more playing time or deserving more playing time, if he doesn't call out his coach via Instagram, Deion, if he doesn't do all those things, hell, he could wind up starting. Maybe Kendrick winds up getting most of the minutes off the bench, and maybe Tyler doesn't wind up playing. Maybe he gets sent to Sioux Falls. Those what-if possibilities are always so fun and interesting to talk about, but it worked out very differently. Deion gets traded. He gets his ring in L.A., theoretically, and Tyler Hero winds up being a part of this team in the long term. We'll see if he's packaged for Jrue Holiday. We'll see if he's packaged for Giannis Antetokounmpo. A lot of different options, but either way, it turns out he had a great rookie season in Miami. It was a lot of fun to watch, so that's it for today. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.